This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Brewers Outlet, Sunbury Motor Company, and Purdy Insurance. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
This half hour being brought to you by Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15, Hummel's Wharf online, sunburymotors.com. Ford, Kia, Hyundai, best in new inventory. Great pre-owned inventory with the Sunbury Motors Guarantee. Terrific service department. Quick lane, routine inspections, difficult to handle at all. At Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf, and online at sunburymotors.com. Great to be joined by the Scotty Scheffler of the region. The outstanding Nate Bauer, sir. Welcome.
Wow. What an intro. Thanks for having me.
Anytime. Great to see you today, by the way. So,
of course. Always an exciting occasion on a Monday afternoon James Franklin press conference.
So let me ask you something from a business point of view. What's better for business? Continued winning or what happened on Saturday?
Oh, boy, that's a tough one. I think continued winning, honestly. There's a buildup of excitement. I would say this. Look, the reality of the expanded playoff, certainly, I've spent the last 36 hours buried in the bunker with Penn State fans, right? And I think
Can I interrupt for a second? So, in other words, you're saying I'm the first sane person you've talked to in 36 hours?
You know what? My wife and kids, they count a little bit, but yes, you're the first Penn State adjacent adult that I've spoken to that is feeling like undeterred. There was a settling down period. Certainly, there were a lot of people upset, but I think that the expanded playoff allows for a perspective on this that is less, necessarily reactionary, right? We have entered this as well as anybody. We have entered the age in which the only solution ever for any setback of any variety is to fire everyone.
Yes.
Right? Fire the head coach, fire position coaches, fire athletic directors. Anybody who is any association
broadcaster
must lose their job.
Broadcaster.
And, what's that?
Broadcaster.
Broadcaster, yeah, play-by-play.
Absolutely. Gotta go. I'm out.
I think there has been, certainly you saw some of those reactions from the national media, but it's very strange. There's an inverse phenomena happening where locally there is a better grasp now of where Penn State football sits in terms of its consistency, its success, in the national college football landscape than even some national perspectives. Like, it has flipped to where people understand, hey, James Franklin's guidance and stewardship of the Penn State football program has been exceptionally good for Penn State. Is it where Penn State wants it to be? Is it where James Franklin wants it to be? Is that the result anybody wanted within that football program? Of course not. But there is still something to play for and still something that, this is a program and a team that very much has an opportunity ahead of it if it handles its business moving forward.
But how quickly was that realized by those who are so by those who are so passionate. And I mean the because look, these people are passionate. So I got that part, right? And you can't have a great program unless you get passionate fans. So I appreciate the passion. How quickly did the gut wrenching of it and the passion of that? How long did it take to get to the realistic part? Now, wait a minute, it's not over.
Yeah, I think it took until yesterday afternoon. Honestly, the seven stages of grief. You got to walk them through it, and I think I've carved out a little bit of a niche for myself as what I hope to be a voice of reason, right? Acknowledging shortcomings and acknowledging the good things, right? Just kind of trying to lay out the way things are in reality more so than in the minds of reactionary opinions, right? I'm not a take guy. That's not what I do. We kind of held hands and walked through it on Sunday afternoon, talking about all the 50,000 foot view of Pat Kraft and Neely Bendapudi and Matt Schuyler and all of the different people that have created an atmosphere for success for Penn State football that didn't really exist previously. And so this specific instance is not the result that reflects all of the work that has gone into this, but does not deter the overall effort. Right, there are still things about Penn State football that are very much worthy of the optimism that certainly James Franklin has, and all of the people that are working tirelessly to get this program on the level that it needs to be. The issue is it is imperative, right, on James Franklin and his staff and the players, everybody involved, to actually get those results to reflect that effort. And I think that this afternoon at his press conference, he made that pretty painfully clear, right? They are past the time of, hey, you played them close, that you can put a feather in your cap for playing them close. That's over. They got to win these games. They had an opportunity to do it. They didn't in a particularly painful way. If they had lost by 20, it's a different conversation today, but instead you lost being stood up at the goal line with four chances. So it is what it is.
You lost by 6 yards, 3 yards in the end of the first half, and 3 yards in the fourth quarter.
No doubt.
Yeah. It's 27-20. You find the 6 yards. You've got to be able to find the 6 yards. I mean, that's part. You got to find them, and they didn't find them.
You gotta lose limbs, right? Like it is, and it's easy for me to say from the comfort of my couch, right? But there was too much effort, too much, and I hate bringing money into it, but like too much money spent, too much brain power, too many smart people, and too much physical effort, all culminating in that moment to fall short in that moment. Mm-hmm. That's the reality. Is Andy Kotelnicki came to Penn State to cash in that moment. Right, Catron out, the offensive line, all of the things that the offensive line has done to get itself at a better spot as a unit over the past 4 years, right? Phil Troutwine's work, you name it. All of that stuff. Too much went into it to come out empty in those spots.
Okay, so his reaction at the press conference, I know he would have loved to have talked about Washington, but that wasn't going to be part of the press conference. What did you think of his answers?
I thought he was excellent, honestly. I thought that, his ability to really dig, he wasn't dismissive of anything, right? There weren't any questions today that he just shed and said, I don't want to talk about it. I'm not going to get into it. Like, he dove into the pain in a lot of ways, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, just the whole, like, it was almost, I think, cathartic to him to have that opportunity to clarify and talk through everything that went into that game, right? Because this is the reality here. Did it come down to a handful of plays? Yes. That's true of both sides. Yep. Will Howard's fumble, right? How improbable to fumble through the back of the end zone, right, before stepping out of bounds. I mean, the replay reviews, the penalties, all of these different, right? I mean, honestly, for the Ohio State cornerback, even as it's Trey Wallace's responsibility to catch that pass, to come away with an interception in that situation,
right.
There was just so much to digest, and he really dove into a lot of it, to all of it. And I think my major takeaway is, it is a thing for Penn State football under James Franklin, like, undeniable. There's a lot of other stuff that is kind of dumb, right? Records against top five teams is just a dumb stat. It takes no thought. It's eye candy for haters. But losses after the first loss of the season, that's real.
That's real. So, that's very real.
That is very real. It is painful, and it is something that Penn State has had a really tough time with under James Franklin. And his digestion of the players' response, how those guys got through it and talked about it, the way that they broke down the game in the media room afterwards, I think showed from his perspective, it reflected positivity. There was a good vibe of people being willing to engage with their shortcomings, not pointing fingers at each other. There was plenty of opportunity for the defense to say, we did our job, they didn't do theirs. And you didn't see that. You didn't hear that after that game. So,
it's an interesting
week here.
You know, it was interesting, though, because, look, obviously I have a much greater opportunity to talk to players one-on-one in just conversation. And in talking to a couple of the players last night, they said the same thing that was said to you guys in the press conference. We're going to see this team again. All right.
Right.
Well, the fact that they believe that, I think, is important. Now they got to go out this week, and they've got to start the pathway to making it happen against a very good team.
Yeah. I think, and there has been a lot of assumption being made by the fan base that the next 4 weeks are a cakewalk, right?
Not even close.
Exactly. Like, Penn State's not going to see a team with a ranking next to its name over the next 4 weeks, and so therefore, Penn State should just march through that the rest of the schedule. Not accurate. Minnesota is no joke.
Good.
That game is on the road. Washington is playing good football, has been playing good football, and has an opportunity. The time change is, right, they don't have to play at 9 a.m. West Coast. This is going to be a night game. They're going to be ready. All of that time change difference is going to be mitigated based on those circumstances. So if Penn State does not shake off its issues and make actual improvements, right? Forget all the soft sides and stuff. They need to be a better football team in execution and performance than they were on Saturday. Because if they're not, they will lose this game.
Right. It's a good quarterback. It's a good running back. And Coleman's a really good running back. Rodgers, very good. Boston, Latu, the wide receiver tight end combo. Bruner on defense, Carson Bruner. Now, that's a football player. Every team would love to have that guy. I mean, we'd love to have that guy. So they've got players, without question. For you, if they were to win on Saturday night, mentally, what does that do? Because you just talked about, you can't make one loss be two.
Yeah, it's huge. It is again. It's imperative. They have to get through these next four games to do what they intended to do at the start of this season. I think that if they can put a good performance together, obviously win. Like, I think it doesn't have to be a blowout.
But win.
Bottom line, you got to win, and then just playing better, right? Getting yourself into fewer third and long situations offensively, getting off the field defensively in third and long situations, right? All of those things. Unsportsmanlike conduct penalties, that kind of stuff. Like, if you can take strides in getting the running game going. Right, this offense is, I'm not going to call it a mess, but it's not great, right? It hasn't been great for a few weeks. And so finding some stability, I do think, is important for these guys moving forward.
Yeah, can I ask you about the Reeb one's an obvious, you can't take your helmet off.
Yep.
Here's the issue I have with the Elliott Washington play, all right? And I realize if you're going to go technically by the letter of the law, but to me, that's a feel for the game thing by the official. Because I did talk to people that were on the sideline. They said Elliott said nothing to him. He didn't say anything to him. He was actually looking down at him because he didn't want to step on him, right? Because he had to go back out on the field because he's on special teams. It's fourth down. Right? And I just thought that that was one of those I sat back, and I know Nate James didn't turn it in. But to me, that's a feel for the game call, and I think the official missed the feel for the game part of it.
Pat Chambers used to say, "Time and place." Mm-hmm. Right, time and place. As an official, you gotta know in that set of circumstances, right? A critical third down stop in that moment, in that game, that. In a situation and a circumstance that 95% of the time those officials let go to make that call, it's just, you know, look, I wrote it yesterday. Franklin, after the game, said all the right stuff about discipline and, you know, you can't do that, and all that stuff is fine publicly. But they were ticked. They were steamed over that call, and I get it. Some fans are, you know, like the pearl clutching side of things of, this is such undisciplined. No, it's not. It happens all the time. You might not like it, but officials have a choice in that circumstance whether to call that or not, and 95% of the time, they don't. So the fact that they did in that, it changed the game in a lot of ways. Yeah, is it the reason that they lost? No. And nobody would argue that. But was it a critical thing that you have to take into account and acknowledge? Yeah, of course.
Yeah. Basketball gets rolling. Interesting what Mike's doing. He's got three of his returning guys with one group and two of his returning guys with another group, which I think is great because they can help bring along other people that are getting ingrained in the system. What's your thought on this team?
Yeah, I think he is intending to play a lot of guys and have a deep bench and just throw a lot of stuff at the wall and see what sticks in the best way possible. Right? I mean, you're going into the season, so you're not exactly sure what you have anyway until they play some other people. Yep. You got five guys coming back that have logged a ton of minutes, have a ton of success in their college careers, a ton of experience. But then you also got guys who haven't, right? Who either haven't done it at Penn State or even in the transfer portal really have more of a limited, right? They didn't bring in seniors and fifth year guys in the transfer portal. They brought in sophomores and one junior. Yep. So there's gonna be a feeling out period of who plays well together. Ace is going to be on the court. You know Yannick's going to be on the court. But there's a lot of mix and matching that he can do, and I think that he intends to do over the next month and a half. I mean, really, he intends to do it for the whole season. But at minimum, through the early part of the non-conference schedule to see what groups click together and which ones generate the most positive results.
Always a pleasure. I know you don't like to brag about your Walker Cup championships, but that's okay. Appreciate it very much, though.
Thank you so much for having me. It's always a pleasure.
Nate Bauer on 3.com, Blue White Illustrated. Back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
There's something to be said about a sale with a handshake. A service technician who really knows what he's doing. They can explain it in English what the problem is. There's nothing better than having that friend you could trust in the area. That's Sunbury Motors, where you get selection, knowledgeable salespeople, and prices that fit your budget, and more important, that friend you can trust. Welcome to Sunbury Motors, Kia, Ford, and Hyundai. You could shop other dealers and compare prices, but at Sunbury Motors, you get their lowest price promise. They research the current used vehicle market and guarantee their used car prices are the lowest. If you find a lower price, Sunbury Motors will beat it. Three dealers all in one. See their full new and pre-owned inventory at sunburymotors.com. Pick out a vehicle you like and schedule your test drive online. Follow them on Facebook. Sunbury Motors Ford and Hyundai, North 4th Street, Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.
You an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Entire operation. Have you noticed that?
What's that?
I said the suit's killing the entire operation. Yeah. Have you noticed that? I mean, even from afar, Todd.
What the heck happened while we were on break?
He woke up.
Ah.
What? You act like I'm evil.
I didn't say that. You did.
He's so nasty. How could you say that? He's wounded. Right. He is still the suit. He is still who he is.
We wouldn't want him any other way. How would we kill time?
Are you sure? All right.
It'd be like Matt calling in and being mellow tomorrow.
Oh, that isn't going to happen.
Exactly. Jeez,
man alive. It's like 20 minutes of freak out every week. Mm-hmm. So, I'm not trying to in any way, shape, or form minimize how people feel about it, but I am trying to get the big picture part of it into it. It's a 12-team playoff now. In the 4-team playoff format, that would have been in football terms, a fatal blow on Saturday. In 12-team playoff world, it didn't help, but it didn't. Yeah, and it may have wounded you, but you're far from out of it. The question is now, winning the next four. Washington's very good. Purdue has struggled. Minnesota's very good, especially out there. They're very good. And then Maryland, it can be unpredictable. The bottom line is you go out and you've got to take care of your own business. You have to understand who you are, how you need to play, and then go about it. This game is going to be, to me, as I said before, I think Washington's a good football team. Okay? I think they're a good football team. No getting around it. Quarterback's really good. Running back's really good. Like the tight end. I think the wideout Boston's really good. I think Bruner on defense, really good. Okay? But do I think Penn State's better? Yeah, I do. But you have to go out now and play. And you got to go out and play. You have to go out and execute. And, you know, everything across the board. That's what you have to do. By the way, did you see that? I think almost everybody's seen the Barkley play by now, right?
Was that
unbelievable?
If you haven't,
was
go.
That I watched no NFL yesterday. None. I went to basketball practice because they're playing tonight, because I also need to do the pregame show with Mike. And then after that, I went to football practice. So we're at football practice, and Kenny Sanders comes over. And he says, have you seen this run by Saquon? And, of course, you know, we hadn't. There's three of us there. Dr. Sebastianelli, Dr. Billy, and I. I'm trying to think who's the least qualified medically there. Okay. And he shows in the initial part is he makes that great spin move. And Greg says, wow, check out the spin move. And Kenny says, no, wait. And my goodness, that was unbelievable.
It's not even the backwards hurdle. It's when you realize the guy's standing fully straight up and he backwards hurdled him at like 6 foot tall.
How does he see him? And you remember, I've been around. I was around him for years. So I mean, I think I know him pretty well, right? And to see that, you go, huh? How the heck did you do that? That was amazing. That was amazing. Wow. It really was. It's like, how do you do that? And like Dick Girardi sent me up. A text with the play last night. And I said, you know, basically it was amazing. He said, it's amazing what this guy does with a legitimate offensive line for him. That's one of the things we've all been waiting for. Because of the Giants, he never had that. Well, for him to go out and have a legitimate offensive line in front of him, that is phenomenal. He's having a great year because he's a great talent and has other great people around him.
I think maybe the only downside is he might save Sirianni's job.
Oh, but it's so much fun talking about him.
It was 22-0 yesterday.
See, again, I didn't see it.
I think he eschewed the field goal three times and tried to go for it, and they got stopped all three times and then got back to 22-16 before they put him away again.
Wonderful.
Well, so you know what we're talking about tomorrow.
Yeah. Again, remember I was talking about the official in the field for the game thing?
Yeah.
Same thing goes for everybody. It goes for announcers. It goes for players. It goes for coaches. It goes for officials and so forth. I really have questions about Nick's feel for the game. I could care less if I have to answer to the front office about something. I could care less about that. If I think it's the right move to make, I make the right move. I don't sit there because the analytics department thinks it's a great idea, and I don't want to answer to them on Monday. I mean, that's happening too much.
You know, and that's part of our identity. That was part of the identity 2 years ago of your team. This is a different team. Hey, because it's a different team, you have to have your thinking adapt to what this team is capable and not capable of. And he doesn't do that. He's a one-size-fits-all kind of coach.
This is the way we do things.
Wrong. Okay, guess what? This team is not capable of doing a few of the things that you could do 2 years ago. And by the way, this team's also capable of doing a couple of other things that you couldn't do 2 years ago because of your running back. All right? To be fair. So, there you are. They won the game. I mean, there's no style points. I realize the schedule they're playing is really one of the worst in the NFL. I got that. This is the same pattern they fell into 2 years ago. Right? Easy week, easy week, easy week, easy week. Except they're making these easy weeks more difficult for whatever reason. They got one more, right? Or is it Washington next week?
No, the Steelers have Washington next week.
Okay.
I think the Eagles have the Cowboys, to be honest, and they just announced Dax is going to be out for a couple weeks.
Oh, yeah. What, he hurt his hamstring?
Yeah. Yep, Eagles and Cowboys. 4:25 Sunday.
Wow.
I also saw that the Eagles have not won in Dallas since 2017.
Oh, no.
I mean, you can't beat the Cowboys without Dax and the way they're playing currently. I just jinxed them, didn't I?
Yes, you did.
Sorry, Matt. They're going to lay an egg Sunday.
I talked about that in my broadcasting class today. I said there are a lot of myths in sports. You know, we started out by talking about halftime adjustments. And Landon Tangwall is in the class. So, I mean, Landon's been there. I said, Landon, am I wrong about adjustments? He goes, nope. He says, we go over maybe one, maybe have time for two things, maybe that's it. So all these incredible adjustments. Like, it's one of the myths of sports. Well, here's a myth in broadcasting. You don't jinx anybody. He's made 18 free throws in a row. Do you think the player can hear you? No. He's made 18 field goals in a row from inside of 40 yards. Okay? There's 111,000 people screaming. Cannot hear you. If he misses it, it's because he missed it. I always love the broadcast. You jinxed him. Like, you're an idiot. Right? And that's not an opinion. Okay? That's just a fact. It's not an opinion.
I always like the no-hitter jinx ones, too.
Oh, yeah. I mean, have I done games I've gone into, like, the sixth inning with no hits, whatever? I'll mention it. Because the fans should know what they're watching. Okay? They should know what they're watching.
And let's be honest, somebody might have just tuned in the fifth inning.
Right. You're trying to let them know, like, what the deal is. It's a weird world out there, buddy. And it's getting stranger by the hour. Right? You jinxed him. Like, no. I've actually had nobody ever come up and say that to me, so never. But I've heard other people say, oh, that broadcaster's jinx. Are you nuts? I can't hear a stick of word you're saying. Now, have there been games I've done in my career where, why, yes, I believe they could hear what I was saying because there were not many people there for a basketball game? Yes. At that point, just kind of keep it to yourself. Oh, goodness gracious. Something else. broadcast. I said, there are a lot of myths in sports. You know, the old win for, one for the Gipper speech. I always love that one, too. Oh, fire, they fire out of the tunnel. The place goes insane. Great. And then there's the national anthem, and then there's a coin toss, and then, oh, by the way, we deferred, so the defense is out there first. You know, it's like it's been 20 minutes since the speech was made. The chip on your shoulder thing. I love that one. Well, Howard played with a chip on his shoulder. Yeah, he made some really nice plays, and he played a good game, but how'd the chip work when he fumbled it out of bounds? Like, once the game starts, you play. I'm playing with a chip on my shoulder. Okay. It's a night game. How many stars can you see? Hey, now, does that maybe get you ready as you prepare for the game and you're more locked in and so forth compared to a normal week? Yeah. Once the game starts, you got to play. Once the game starts, it doesn't matter about your chip. I always find that to be almost comical. We come up with all these things. It's a trap game. Oh, for God's sakes, a trap. Just go play. See, I just don't believe in any of this stuff, Todd. I just don't.
As you get older, I don't. As players get older, I don't. I fully believe there's such things as trap games in high school football.
That's a maturity thing.
Yes.
Okay. Now that's a maturity thing. Okay, which I understand. Like, you're just a kid. We're doing great. All thing. Yeah, because you haven't been around the block. You don't know. But once you get older, you're like, we need to win this dang thing. Like, if we don't, right. And I can understand people putting less credence into some games than others. That part I've got. But you're a fan. You can do that. A fan can do that. So I completely understand that. As a fan, you can do that. Okay? But if you are involved in the game, you can't do that. You can't. You do that, big problem, right? It's a trap game. No, if you're serious about your business, no. Yeah. And you got to be serious about it. I mean, at this level, right? All you got to do is, like, let's say Washington, for example. All you got to do is rack up one video and go, okay, good team. Got to take them seriously, right? We quote, we beat USC, they beat USC. Okay. Doesn't take long. So, yeah. Doesn't take long. All right, we'll wrap it up in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Party time, game time, or just fun time. Doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection. Imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Telling you, he's killing us. He wakes up and everything goes to heck. Have you noticed that?
Sleeping in late today, was he?
What makes today different?
Maybe second nap.
Oh, you're worse than I. Tomorrow, Neil Kulong will be on the show. And then Matt Cotrillo on what should be an insane rant. I mean, I understand his son Luke has been covering first base hours on end ever since. the incident last week. Poor kid, he's so tired. And then Jerry Dulac, as we send the pendulum back to sanity on Wednesday, and then the play-by-play voice of Washington football, Tony Calcadrone, will join us on Thursday. So that's what we have coming up. But I would expect tomorrow he has an opportunity, in no uncertain terms, to be an unqualified disaster.
You're probably not wrong.
I mean, that's the worst fifth inning in a big game I've ever seen a team play.
I would guess you're right. it's I feel like if somebody had played a worse one, it would probably stick out.
Well, you can't have your, I mean, you're talking about $76 million a year in talent. $76 million a year. Dropping a fly ball and not covering first base. Okay. It's a lot of money to pay. $76 million. $40 million drops a ball. $36 million doesn't cover first base. In other words, fundamentals. Oh. $76 million worth of mistakes.
I put that on the manager, but I also, if the rest of the organization was concerned about it, you think they would have fixed that part of it in the last couple of years? Because it's not like this is the first year the Yankees have struggled with fielding and base running.
True. Oh, well. It'll be interesting to hear his take on it tomorrow, because I will deliberately direct him away from any Eagles talk because it's positive. I mean, is there any way that we want to make this feel like it's a good time for him?
No, I don't think you'll have to. I think Eagles talk will be fine too. I might have poked the bear a little bit. I sent him a video on X earlier today of people being interviewed about the Eagles game, about Sirianni, so there were some well-reasoned takes there.
Oh boy. What time's he on?
1:15.
Ay, ay, ay.
Their soccer doubleheader tomorrow's at Midwest for the state playoffs, so.
Oh, okay. What game do you have? Do you have Lewisburg this week? Is that your
No, actually, I'm going up to Mansfield University for Southern and Troy, because Southern's either going to upset the number one team of the state or the streak's coming to an end.
Gotcha. Okay.